Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Mind Shift Talk Radio. I'm your host, Stacey Emery, joined by my phenomenal Mind Shift crew. The natural Zen diva, Dr. Ayal Kedar, is in the house with me tonight. And unfortunately, the motivational minister himself, Mr. Billy Miller, is out ill, so we do miss him, but he is under the weather today. But anyway, we are still going to keep the show rolling. We have another hot topic for you guys tonight. We're excited, as always, to be here. It's another happy, peppy Monday for us. And we're excited for the speakers that we have joining us tonight. So we definitely encourage you, as always, to come to Mindshift Talk Radio with an open mind, an open perspective. And also make sure you have a notepad and a pen or something, because you'll definitely want to take some notes. I'm sure that both of our speakers are going to share tons of valuable information with you that you will find very beneficial. So, again, we thank you for joining us for Mindshift Talk Radio. For those of you that are joining us in the chat room, thank you. We encourage all your questions and comments and the conversation that goes on there. And for those of you that will be listening to the replay, we thank you and we commend you for just taking the time to be so diligent about your own personal growth and development for joining us here. So again, guys, like I said, this is a new week, new topic. For those of you that may have missed the show last week, we had a phenomenal speaker. When I tell you, she was amazing. Dr. Ayo, tell them about last week's speaker. Like, seriously, was she not off the charts?
She was on fire, guys. We had Tawana Williams, and when I tell you, if you want to get rid of any excuses you have in your life, you need to go listen to that replay, because really? Tawana was born with no arms because of a side effect from some medication. I think it was theobromide was the medication that her mom took while she was pregnant, so she was born with no arms. She overcame that, knows how to do all sorts of stuff where her feet could take care of herself, was a crack cocaine addict for 10 years, overcame that. I mean, when I tell you anything, any excuse that you have as to why you cannot succeed, you need to go listen to that replay.
I'm serious, really. Like, after that show, it was like, okay, I have a headache, so what? My leg hurts, so what? I'm tired, so what? I'm serious. It was like, there's no excuse at this point. You know, this woman has conquered so much. She's been able to overcome so much. And it's not even so much just about her being born without arms. It's just hearing her story about all the other things that she's had to overcome in her life. I mean, it was just remarkable to me. And I'm just like, wow, when I listen to her. And I think what really excites me about her is just her spirit. She's so down to earth, humble, but just so strong and confident. I mean, she is just a powerful, small little woman. Because she says she's like 4'5" or something like that. So I say a small little woman, but I love it. I mean, just dynamite, just amazing. So definitely want to go back and listen to the replay of Mind Shift Talk Radio from last week. Also, if you want to get more information about her, be sure to check her out online, TawanaWilliams.com. And if you don't have that link, you can always feel free, if you're one of our fans on Facebook, you can find her information as well on our fan page, facebook.com/MindShiftTalkRadio. And if you are not a fan, shame on you. You need to go there right now and become a fan, facebook.com, or also follow us on Mindshift Talk Radio. You can click the follow link, and you'll be able to get information about all of our upcoming shows as well. So that's pretty much it about last week. As Dr. Ayo just said, you know, she was born with the handicap, or what some people would consider a handicap. And also we talked about all the trials and all the things that she had to overcome. And when you think about that, I also mentioned last week that April was considered to be National Stress Awareness Month. And you're probably thinking, okay, like how does this tie together? Well, it ties together because we're still talking about overcoming our circumstances. We're talking about overcoming those negative experiences, whether it's a physical impairment, whether it's a mental impairment, whatever it may be. We need to be able to identify those things in our lives, those barriers in our lives, those trials and those bridges that we have to cross in order for us to be able to conquer our dreams and to be able to do the things that we want to do as well. And it's very difficult for us to be able to say, you know, I'm feeling fantastic today when I can barely make it out the bed in the morning because I'm depressed about what the day may hold. It's really going to be a challenge for me to come on to Mindshift Talk Radio and encourage our listeners if I'm not feeling confident about who Stacy is, if I'm having some challenges as well. And so we need to understand what's going on with us. And as we always say every week on this show, we talk about really looking at yourself, really just being introspective and saying, okay, what's going on with me? And it can take so much courage to do that because we can look at the flaws and the issues and the insecurities of others, but sometimes we miss what's going on with us. And so that's what this show is about. It's about identifying those things in our lives that need to be corrected, but not only with others and not only outside of ourselves, but also inside of ourselves. What are the things that we need to do differently in terms of the way we think, in terms of the way we speak, in terms of what we eat? How do we treat ourselves? All of that is a reflection of how we're going to treat others. And so, as I said, I'm really excited about the speakers that we have joining us tonight. Dr. Ayo was really excited about the show. Like I said, she's the natural Zen diva, so she made sure that she got the best of the best to be here with us tonight. You will be familiar with these speakers if you listen to our MVP show for 2010. These individuals joined us last year as well, just sharing so much great information. We had tons of great feedback, and so we wanted to bring them back. So thank you to Dr. Ayo for getting these speakers back as well. And I'm going to go ahead and just pass it over to you, Dr. Ayo, let you do what you do.
Woohoo! that's for Billy. If Billy was here, he'd say, hey.
Hey, exactly. Oh, we miss you, Billy. Hey.
Yeah, we miss you, Billy. Hope you feel better soon.
Yeah.
Don't leave too much mucus on the rotary.
Gross. You are so gross.
I am. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for joining us tonight. This is going to be another Power Pack. Wonderful show of Mindshift Talk Radio. Guys, as Stacy was just saying, you know, stress. April is National Stress Awareness Month, and that's what really prompted this show because, you know, we live in a really, really stressful time, okay? These are some seriously stressful times if you allow yourself to be stressed, which is why you're listening to Mindshift because we know that if we control our thoughts, we can control the external things that are going on in our life, and we can control our response to it because, you know, we are in control of our mind. So, which is the basis, the foundation of Mindshift Talk Radio. So tonight we have some great speakers. So excited. I always love to hear these two speakers tonight. The first half of the show is going to be about your health. How can stress impact your health? What are things that you need to be concerned of and how you can overcome it? The second half of the show, we're going to talk about stress related to work. So how you can balance your work and your home life and not be super stressed out. Okay, so really, really powerhouse show tonight, so you want to be sure that you stay tuned. And also, if you know someone who is high stress, you know some people who they're constantly calling you and they're always stressed out, you need to give them a call right now, okay? Help yourself out and help them out. Go ahead and give them a call, send them a text message, and tell them to go to Mindshift Talk Radio and join us so they can listen to this tonight. So the first speaker is Medina Nance, and guys, she's so awesome. She's a certified herbalist. She's a naturopath. She has 20 years of experience in this field. So she's not someone who's just read a lot of books. She's actually used these principles in her practice. She's actually helped people to overcome their health issues and have natural therapy options. So I'm so excited to have you here because she always brings so much information. Like Stacey said, I hope you have your pen and paper ready because she always brings it to you. So, Medina, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
All right.
I'm here.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining us. So good to have
you. Hey, Medina. Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here. We'll always get great information from your show.
Thank you.
So we just wanted to, just share. I know you have a lot of information that you want to share about stress and how it can affect your body, because we know that it can affect our body. So I'm going to let you go ahead and take the floor, and if we have questions as they come up, we'll just interject and fire away.
All right. Well, I just want to say thank you, Jesus, for being here, because I love Mind Shift Talk Radio. Like I said, I always get information. After I stop talking, I'm going to tune in to hear about that stress and work. But I want to start off by talking about how most of us, when we think of stress, we automatically think that it's just a mental thing. And stress can debilitate you physically and mentally. So I just want to talk a little bit about some of the culprits. And then, of course, I'm sure we'll evolve into the natural remedies as well. And some of the culprits people might not think about are things like vaccines. And I have had to start off with vaccines because that's something that most everybody does. I know we think, okay, you've got to take the vaccines to avoid some worse problems in life, but a lot of times people don't know what all is in the vaccines. They're on a program now trying to campaign, I should say, to try to get the vaccines to be cleaner or greener, and take out some of the things that are in them, like formaldehyde and heavy metals. Formaldehyde and heavy metals will definitely irritate your central nervous system, which can cause stress. And it can not only cause stress, it can cause a whole lot of other problems that are a lot worse in life, but we're just going to stick with the stress. So I have to say one of the culprits is vaccines. That's something people need to look into and make an informed decision. Another thing is our diet. We've got a lot of processed foods that actually cause stress. White sugar, white salt, you know, too many processed foods. I mean, a lot of these things, we can have them every now and again in moderation, but it's a lot better if you do it every now and again in moderation if you're cleaning your system regularly. Another thing is lack of exercise. And then I want to talk about the flip side. In case a person is so stressed, maybe they need to go on antidepressants. Well, I found after looking into that, antidepressants can be wonderful in the short term. In the long term, they may not be so good for everyone because they can also cause stress. And that might seem strange to a lot of people to hear that antidepressants can actually make you depressed or cause stress, but they can over long periods of time. Another thing that people don't look at is your liver and kidneys, particularly your liver. I remember studying Chinese modems of healing, and the Chinese professors kept calling the liver an organ of emotion. And when I asked why, he said that your liver works like the filter in your car. He said when you change the oil, and you always change the oil filter. And I thought about it. So he gave us information about how when the liver is overloaded, it can become your emotional organ. It can cause things like, and I'm just going to give you a few symptoms, and these will ring clear with a lot of people, insomnia, anxiety, anger, depression, irritability, stress, panic attacks, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, excess weight gain, hot flashes, migraine headaches. These are just some of the symptoms of an overloaded liver. So when I found that out, I said, oh, my gosh, you know, no wonder they call the liver the organ of emotion, because the liver performs over 500 functions. And actually, when the liver gets overloaded, it produces an alcohol-type substance that is extremely potent, and the liver pumps these toxins throughout the system, and they escalate to the brain, and it affects the brain like LSD. Seriously, that's acid. And this in turn can cause the symptoms of the things that we just talked about, not being able to sleep, becoming extremely irritated to the point where you have panic attacks. And nobody would ever associate an overloaded liver, which is, you know, supposed to get the chemicals out of your body, with all of these symptoms that we're talking about. So what happens is we get drugs to cover up these symptoms, and we don't ever get out of that ditch sometime. But I want to tell you there are a lot of simple things that you can do, and everybody's body is different, so I'm going to give you a couple of things. One, a lot of people have heard of essential fatty acids, get your omega-3. Well, liquid flaxseed oil is actually an antidepressant because the brain is a part of your nervous system. It's like your CPU, your central processing unit, like your computer. And when it gets overloaded, inflammation on the brain can cause depression. Well, liquid flaxseed oil cools the brain. It's like an antidepressant. And I've actually seen a lot of people get a lot of help just from taking liquid flaxseed oil every day. I have a lot of ladies take it because it's an anti-fibrocystic tissue formula, which means it can help prevent those fibroids and cysts, but that's another topic for another day. Some other things that can really, really help are B vitamins, especially if you take B complex. Just take all the B vitamins. I find myself giving out a lot of B complex. I spend a lot of time going to hospitals, to people's house to visit them who are sick, going to funerals, and I give people B complex, and I find that it really nourishes the nervous system. It's very calming. It's like putting a fire hose on a fire, because when a person is stressed out, you can't think straight. A lot of times you can't function properly. So when you take B-complex, you feel it. And I've heard statistics that 80% of all doctor's visits, that's 80%, are directly related to stress. So stress isn't only mental, it can be physical as well. So these are some really good things you can do. And I also want to just tell people that there are a lot of things that can develop out of stress. When they say stress is a silent killer, that's true. You know, when a person has prolonged emotional stress, it can lead to a breakdown of overall health. And evidence shows we're probably not doing enough to help ourselves, but I just want to throw out a couple things that can really, really be helpful. One herb that a lot of people have heard of is called valerian root. Now, valerian root is good, most people know, for taking at night before you go to bed. It'll help you sleep, and it doesn't have any of the drug side effects. It'll put you to sleep at night. You can wake up in the morning refreshed. You don't feel groggy. But valerian root is also good for pain. It's good for maybe if a person has alcoholism and they're trying to get off, anxiety, arthritis, colic, cramps, headache, insomnia, restlessness, and even spasms. See, a lot of times when people get stressed out, they have muscle spasms. So that's just good to know that valerian root can be taken instead of a sleeping pill. Skullcap is another wonderful muscle relaxant. It's also good, you know, for a whole lot of other things like edema. That's where we have that water retention in the feet. Your feet, at the end of the day, your feet and legs can get swollen. That's edema. So skullcap is good for that. Skullcap is really good for emotional problems. It's great for epilepsy, gout, heart problems. It's good for hysteria, migraine headaches, muscle twitches, even simple minerals like magnesium. If you had to pick one mineral, oh, my gosh, it's hard, but I'd say calcium and magnesium would be at the top up there. And guess what? Calcium and magnesium are both wonderful for your nerves and your central nervous system. I've literally seen people twitch with nervous twitches that they couldn't stop, taking magnesium and just watch it calm right down. So these are really good things to think of. Chamomile, that's another good one. Some people have heard of chamomile. It's really wonderful, especially for children, even infants. You can make this into a tea, sweeten it with a little bit of agave nectar or 100% maple syrup, stay away from the honey, and you can use it for hyperactivity, probably stop them from putting the child on Ritalin. It's good for colic, teething, fussiness, colds and fever, or general restlessness. When I had a daycare center back in the 80s, I would give them chamomile. Mostly I gave them catnip because catnip can be used in that same way for the same things as the chamomile. So that's something to, you know, really think about when it comes time to doing things naturally to help the nervous system. I understand the need for medications. I'm not at all against medications for short-term use. It's just that a lot of the medications they'll put you on for stress have a tendency to be very, very addictive, whereas these herbals are more nutritious. They're not addictive to the system. You'll just find that you like them. So they might be addictive in that sense that you want it again, but not an addictive in the sense where you have to have it. Your body will go into withdrawals. Another one is hops. That's why people love beer so much. It's brewed with hops, but you can actually take hops. That's another good herb. Nourishes the nervous system. It's great for sleep. It's a powerful nervine and sleep aid. And it's also good for nervousness. Here's another good thing hops is good for: acidic stomachs. You see all of these commercials that people have where they're talking about acid upset stomachs and they're taking purple pills. You can take hops. It's a simple remedy, and it's safe for long-term use. Lobelia, that's another nervine herb, and it's a very, very powerful muscle relaxant. Some people have called it a cure-all. I know I've used it for hiatus hernias. I've used it for stress. It's a great, you know, decongestant. It helps to clear obstructions anywhere in the body. And it's been I've used it extensively for asthma. You can use it even in an extract in a liquid form. You can take it every 5 to 10 minutes until you feel relief. So that's good. I wouldn't tell a person not to take a bronchial dilator, but this would be safer to use, and it gets to the root of the problem instead of just covering up the symptoms. And it also, you know, makes a really good liniment. You can use lobelia and actually rub it if you combine it with capsicum. That's, you know, also called cayenne or red pepper. It won't burn you, but you can mix the two together and rub it on your muscles. It is a superior muscle relaxant. It's great for sore, achy muscles, and that happens. So these are some things that are natural remedies that people can do that won't cause any addictions. So I just want people to bear in mind that you want to take a look at those things. Also, meditation and yoga. I mean, I like to say prayer. Sometimes people look at you crazy when you say prayer, but you can say meditation. It's just stopping the brain and calming down. So I hope you guys took a took notes of those things, because I find these simple things are the things that keep us from going to extremes. I always think about Michael Jackson, you know, bless his heart, he's gone. He probably started off in a place where he was highly stressed. Had he nourished his nervous system, then he probably wouldn't have had to feel the need to take a sleeping aid and built up a resistance to it. You can see how it can just have a snowball effect because, you know, people need to sleep, so these are some of the things that you can do that are natural that eventually you'll look up and you won't have that stressed out feeling, as opposed to just taking a med and it works and then you're addicted and you need something stronger. So I hope that information has been helpful. And if anybody has any questions about that, you know, I'll be glad to answer, because I've used all of these extensively for years and they work well.
Good stuff. Oh, my goodness. Information there, Medina. And you hit some points, you know, the fact that people don't realize that stress, chronic stress, which is what most of us are under, affects your health.
Increased
weight gain. There's ways that, you know, for me personally, I know when I'm stressed because my neck gets stiff. And I can remember, I mean, like, where it'll be to a point where I can't look left or right. I just have to look straight ahead because my neck is so. And I was like, oh, I'm stressed out. Because you don't even realize that it's your subconscious mind that's stressed out. So,
like, well, I had a friend, and I hadn't talked to her in a long time, and she called me up and said that her neck was so bad that she couldn't turn it to the left or to the right, and it was just throbbing pain. So when she called me, she was at the hospital. They did all the tests, and they gave her muscle relaxant. After keeping her there for 2 days, they ran all the tests, and they ended up giving her muscle relaxants. They sent her home and said, here's a prescription. There's nothing wrong with you. So she, you know, came over to see me. She said, I know it's got to be something wrong, and I don't want to take these drugs, cover it up, and it's something worse later on. So I actually used that lobelia and capsicum as externally just to rub on her neck and shoulders for her muscles. And internally, she took magnesium and B-complex. Never had a problem with it again. So something that simple. And see, it could have been that her body was lacking in magnesium. Like I said, magnesium is one of the quickest ways to have a natural muscle relaxant that I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
Just magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
I have a patient, she takes that for restless legs. That's what she takes it for. She takes a lot of extra magnesium.
Yeah, I mean, there's actually been books written called Magnesium, the Miracle Mineral, because it truly is miraculous. I've had people with Charlie horses, giving it to them, had them relax, depending upon their system, between, you know, half hour to 45 minutes or an hour, it's completely gone. And it's a sign that their body is probably lacking in that. Just like pregnant women, they might crave something strange like ice cream or pickles when they really are just craving minerals.
So does everyone take the same dosage of magnesium regardless of what it is, or is there like a certain amount you should take for each issue that you're having?
Well, you know what? Everybody's, but that's a great question. Everybody's body is different, so it's going to, you know, vary from person to person. What I found is when people, you know, are kind of, I got to take a lot because we always think more is better.
Mm-hmm.
I carry it in a tablet form and also in capsule. I use the tablets more, so I tell people to start with a small amount. Now, of course, if they're a larger person, I might start them with a little bit more, but I caution them not to take too much because what it can do is cause them to evacuate, go to the bathroom. Because, you know, the bowel.
Evacuate.
So that's, you know, that's not the worst side effect, but if you're not expecting it, because I can remember taking it one time for that reason. I had been sitting on the plane so long that I just felt, you know, kind of cramped up, and I took some magnesium. About an hour later, I was on my way. So, you know, that wasn't a bad thing. It wouldn't have come out if it wasn't there. But, you know, I just always caution people about that. So it isn't an exact amount of milligrams, I would suggest, because I also use magnesium for people who have heart problems. It is a wonderful, miraculous herbal for the heart and the circulatory system.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And guys, the one thing that Medina did mention, I know we're coming up to our time here, is with that magnesium, because it can cause, you know, diarrhea, like calcium, people who are taking calcium are usually stocked up. So that's why we like to recommend, if you are taking calcium, you have magnesium as well, so you can a balance. You're taking, you know.
Because most of your good calcium will have magnesium and vitamin D all together.
And vitamin D.
They'll have it together as a formula because synergistically they work so well together. But also,
shame on you, Io. I'm sorry. I was just saying shame on Io using the D word. Medina said evacuate. She didn't say the D word. She said it makes you evacuate. And you want to get all nasty.
Yeah, it can give you a loose stool. But you know what? It's funny you said that because a lot of times they'll give people stool softeners, and magnesium can do a great job for, you know, as you know, just to move the bowel and be a stool softener.
That's good to know.
And I like that you said that, Medina, because a lot of people who are on medications, especially the pain killers, the opioids need to be stopped up. And so they take the DoxySafe, you know, daily. And a lot of those stool softeners, those laxatives, are not intended. If you read the literature that you get from the pharmacy, they clearly state, you know, try not to use for more than two consecutive weeks. The manufacturer is recommending that you, especially the strong stimulant laxatives. I know we're getting a little off topic here, but I just kind of want to put that disclaimer out there. A lot of stuff going on where people are going to sue their doctors and sue the drug companies. I encourage you guys as patients to be be comfortable for knowing what it is that you're taking, why it is that you're taking it, what the side effects is. You can read information to tell you what your side effects are. A lot of you all don't want to read it, and you want to act like it's not there. But, you know, I think it's a little unfair to come back and want to sue some of these companies for those side effects that they clearly said. Another one that I want to throw out here, guys, with the herbals, if you are taking prescription medications, I prefer that you take herbals without contacting a health, whether it's a certified herbalist or a pharmacist, someone who can see if those medications interact.
That is so true, because and a lot of people take them together because they don't know. They don't know to space them at least 2 hours apart.
Mm-hmm.
So that's so true.
That's right. And
I'm glad you said that. I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off, but no, right where you were, because I'm glad you said that. I have someone that has a question when I told them that Medina would be on the show, and I would love for you to explain it, because she's taking medication. She's been taking pain pills now for almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
She's taking pain pills for different ailments with her hip, with her leg, with her foot, and I think she's taking, like, what's the one with the P, like the really strong one? I can't remember what she said it was, but Percocets and all of those pills she's taking on a regular basis, and she recently had some issues with her kidney. And so, you know, we've been talking about moving over to herbals now, you know, using some natural remedies, but how does she go about doing that? So I know you were touching on that, but how does she go about gradually introducing some herbs into her diet instead, you know, and not be able to, you know, really get messed up behind all the medicine that she's taking?
Well, that's a good question. Generally, what I do is I get a list of the meds people are taking, how long
mm-hmm.
they've been taking, what they've been taking them for, and I get a health history background, like how much water they drink, how does their bowels move, if they still have their appendix, their gallbladder, and their tonsils, because that tells me a lot about the condition of their body. And then there are certain medications which don't mix too well with certain herbals. Like, say, for instance, since we're on the topic, St. John's wort. I read an article where they wanted to give people who were on antidepressants St. John's wort, and the two don't mix. I always
mm-hmm.
tell people, you know, if you're going to take St. John's wort, you need to take that on its own. You can probably take some B-complex with it, you know, some magnesium and calcium, but you don't want to take an antidepressant. I don't care if you space them 2 hours apart. So it's just knowing that there are certain medications which are not going to jive too well. And then you think about how many people now, since heart disease is number one, who are taking blood thinners. You have to be careful that you're not going to give them things that are going to thin the blood. Then their blood is too thin.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I try to get all of their information before I start suggesting what they should take, because it's just natural for us to view herbs like drugs. But, you know, and certainly you can take certain herbs and vitamins and minerals along with certain meds, but not with all of them. There are some that just don't mix together. So if she's on mm-hmm. Nervine herbs, like Dr. Ayo was saying a moment ago, a lot of these meds for pain killers, they really do block the bowel. Matter of fact, a lot of medication has a coal tar base and blocks the bowel. So, you know, I try to give them something that's mild, that's going to, you know, get the bowel moving. If they want to juice and do that, that's fine. And then start giving them natural Nervine herbs, you know, ones like the ones we mentioned. You know, skull cap, you have chamomile, lobelia, hops. You know, there are so many different ones that you can use. Sometimes I even have combinations, like I have a combination called Nerve 8. It's 8 Nervine herbs that, you know, I use in combination and, you know, the thing, just it things to build up and nourish the nervous system, because the nerves, they have a thin sheath around them, a myelin sheath, and it can get thinner and thinner with these drugs for long-term use, and
mm-hmm.
people don't realize that. That's why you see some problems like MS, You know, a person might start off with a cane, then you see them on a walker, then the next thing you know, they're in a wheelchair. Now, they've got wonderful medications, like, you know, they have some shots that they can take. I have to look up the names of them again, but, you know, they're really wonderful for helping, but at some point in time, you have to nourish the nerves.
Right.
You know, you have to give the body what it's lacking. You know, when in our youth, we have an abundance of everything, and so we take it for granted. That's why people are so shocked once they get to be 40 and 50, and they're like, wait a minute, you know, what's going on? I used to be able to, you know. As you get older, your reserves run down, and due to stresses and the toxins, they run down even more. And that's why I talk to everybody about taking a good multivitamin, mineral, and essential fatty acids, because if you need a medication, 9 times out of 10, you're already deficient in something. Once you take the medication, that's going to take more nutrients out, because that's one of the biggest side effects of meds that people don't hear about, is that all the meds, over-the-counter, prescription, they all strip a lot of important nutrients from the body, and we don't know to compensate.
Well, Medina, I'm telling you, you always share tons of information, and then we're like, oh, you got to go now. You know, the book just needs to come. We just need we need the book by Medina next.
I am working on one. It just feels like plagiarism because it's nothing new, but I am working on it.
Well, you know,
and I'm going to stay tuned in because I want to hear about that work stress.
Well, go ahead and let our listeners know how they can get in touch with you and how they can get some more information from you after the show.
All right. Well, my number is 773-324-4372. That's 773-324-4372. You can find me on Facebook. I'm working on a new website, which I'll give that to you soon. So you can contact me either way.
Awesome. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's Medina Nance, our VIP certified herbalist. You are listening to Mind Shift Talk Radio. We are talking about health awareness, mental awareness. We are talking about National Stress Awareness Month. And so we are learning about those stress triggers in our lives and learning how to beat those things down and win on every level in every area of our lives. So thank you for tuning into Mindshift Talk Radio. The Natural Zen Diva, Dr. Ayo Kedar, is heading our discussion this week. So I'm going to go ahead and pass it back to you, Dr. Ayo.
Yes, oh my goodness. I realize we can just keep going. When me and Medina get on the phone, we just keep going. So we have to throw up the flag. So
yes.
Guys, our next speaker is Terrence Leffridge, Coach T, Coach Terrence, okay?
Coach T.
He is, that's right, because he is definitely a coach. He is a lifestyle, certified, what is it called? Why am I having a blank right now? Help me out. What is it?
Certified
life coach.
Yes.
Golly, sorry guys, I just jacked that all up.
You need some herbs. You need some
herbs. Yeah, I need some herbs. I'm actually sipping on some green tea right now because I need some caffeine. But it doesn't matter. Whatever the title is, let me tell you what his real title is. That's motivator, someone that makes you want to move and become unstoppable, as he likes to say, unstoppable coaches. So give it up. Look, if I could clap it up right now, I'd be clapping it up for Terrence Leffridge. Come on out.
Good evening. How is everybody?
Coach T. We are fantastic. We are so happy to have you here. Welcome back to Mindshift Talk Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for blessing me and allowing me to come back on the show. And, Doc, could you put the 5-hour energy down? Chris said in the chat room that's probably why you just completely messed up everything.
Everything.
What they say, blame it on her head and not her heart. Blame it on her head and not her heart.
Yes, she has a wonderful heart, as do you, Stacy. And I got to give a shout out to my boy, Billy Miller. I see he's in the chat room. So, hey, Billy.
Well, thank you for joining us, as always. And, yes, we are excited to hear what you have to share with us tonight, Coach T.
Oh, okay. Well, So listen, we're talking about this stress thing, and, you know, ever since 2008 up till 2011 now, this country has definitely been at a high stress level because of a lot of different things, and most importantly having to do with this work situation. I'm sure everybody on the call, everybody who's listening, everybody who will be listening to the archived version, as well as everybody in the chat room, knows at least one somebody that's been affected by the recession. Either they have lost a job themselves, or they know somebody who's lost a job, or they know somebody who is just trying with all get out to hold on to that, what you would call that piece of job that we might have. And that leads to a very stressful situation. And you can find that stress in the workplace. You can find that stress at home. You can find that stress level wherever you go. And I just stopped by for a little less than 19 minutes, thanks, Doc, to share some of the things that I've learned through my experience and through my research that can help you recognize that you are too blessed to be stressed. And you can, there are some remedies that you can do to have a work-life balance and avoid some of the stress that's out there. But before we get started, I think we need to have a real definition of what the work-life balance is all about. So Jim Bird, who's a publisher for worklifebalance.com, his definition continues to talk about two different things. It talks about having achievement and having enjoyment in every part of your life. And he says that there's four quadrants of your life. It's yourself, your family, your friends, and your work. And the goal to having a great work-life balance is to have meaningful daily achievement and enjoyment in those four life quadrants. So basically, if you've got daily achievement and daily enjoyment, then you've got a good work-life balance. I wasn't totally fixated on that definition, so I had to come with the TML definition. And for me, having a wonderful work-life balance means that you've got to learn some techniques and some strategies to attain a level of harmony and accomplishment pertaining to the commitments brought on by everyday life and work circumstances. So you've got to be able to come up with ways to accomplish things and be at peace at the same time in lieu of all the stressors that's going to come from family or that's going to come from work or that's going to come from a combination of the two. So that's my working definition for that work-life balance. So you may be asking me, Dr. Io, how do we achieve that work-life balance? Well, in my research, I found a couple of themes that I want to share with you. I'll try to get through at least three of them in the time that's given, but I definitely had five. So the five common things that I found to achieve work-life balance is, number one, you got to make time for yourself. You got to respect your work time and your lifetime. You got to prioritize and organize your life so that you can avoid those stresses that come along with life. You got to be willing to share the load. And then finally, you've got to be able to learn how to say no. Now, the first one that I talk about is learning to take time for yourself. And not just take time, but make time. And I want to make sure those distinctions are clear, because a lot of times you'll have conversations and you'll hear people saying that, I got to find time to do this. And if only I could find time to do this. And there's not enough time in the day. The difference between taking time, finding time, and making time is that purpose that you put behind it and that intention that you put into it. So let's talk about some of the stresses that come along if you don't make time for yourself. Well, number one, there's just no time for you. Number two, as my Chicago connection, Medina Nance, said earlier, it leads to a lot of fatigue. And then you got to call her and talk about all those different herbs that you're going to have to use and all those different medications so you can get some sleep. And then also it leads to a whole lot of unhealthy habits, you know, unhealthy eating, unhealthy smoking, unhealthy drinking, not getting enough exercise. All of those things happen because we don't make time for ourselves. So what's some of the remedies that we can do in order to make time for ourselves? The most important thing that I thought of and I found in my research was to build some me time into your schedule and put it on your calendar. So just for example, this morning I did something that I kind of try to do at least once a week, once every couple of weeks, and I just took myself out for breakfast before the day began. You know, Monday morning, you got all these things that you got to do, work-related. You've got a whole lot of things on your mind and a whole lot of tasks that you have to get up and get doing. But if you can take that time at the beginning of the week to invest in yourself and just do something just as little as go out and take yourself out for breakfast, feed your body, recharge your mind, and then let your soul do what it needs to do with the rest of the week. You're going to find that you're going to start your week off on the right track, and it's going to carry out through the rest of the week. So I definitely recommend that you build some me time into your schedule. And one of my coaching clients, she brought something to my attention through one of our coaching sessions that just blew me away. You know, we were talking about time management for her, and so she came up with the ideal to come up with what she called the Shabbat day. Does any of you guys know what Shabbat day is?
No, I have no idea what that is. What is that, Terrence?
Okay, well, I'm glad you asked. Shabbat is a Jewish term that coincides with the seventh day of the week, otherwise known as a day of rest. And by Jewish customs, it's considered a day free from the regular labors of everyday life. So they actually put this into their customs and into their lifestyle to have a Shabbat every, at least one day a week. And for the Christians out there, that's very similar to Sunday. You know, Sunday we're not supposed to really work. We're supposed to go worship, and we're supposed to rest, and we're supposed to enjoy our family and friends. But in the USA, really, and then in some other countries, we don't really do that. We don't really practice that as much as we do. So she created her Shabbat day. And in her Shabbat day, she actually planned out that she wasn't going to have any regular contact with any of the people that she would normally hang out with. She put her family on notice that this was just going to be her day. And she just spent the whole day doing things that were building up her spirit and building up herself. So I thought that was a phenomenal ideal. And the fact that she was able to schedule it and put people on notice and clear her schedule, when I talked to her at our next coaching session, she said that was the best day that she had had in years. So if you guys don't do anything else, tell your family, tell your friends, tell your spouse, I got a Shabbat day coming up, and everybody's going to know what that means. So,
okay. I need a Shabbat day.
Oh. and
just to let you know, we extended the time, so you have plenty of time. So feel free to share all five steps, but that's okay.
Okay. So definitely plan that day. And some other things that you can do is just set a time for reflection, a time for meditation. You know, if it's prayer in the morning or if it's prayer in the evening before you go to sleep. Medina talked about that yoga, definitely. You know, there are people here that get up at sunrise and go out to Lake Michigan here in Chicago, and they do their yoga as the sun rises, getting in tune with themselves and in their spiritual side as well as their mind and body side. So taking that time for yourself. What I like to do in the summertime, and I don't know if you or Stacy have been to Chicago yet, and if you haven't, you've got my personal invitation, but we've got 18 miles of shoreline, beach line, called Lakeshore Drive here. And sometimes on Sunday afternoon, I will just jump in my car with my favorite CD, and I will drive 18 miles up to the end and 18 miles back to my house and just be as like my mind is unconscious as to where I'm going, and the car is actually driving itself. But it is a way to get in tune with yourself. So definitely the most important thing is to make time for yourself. But then there's other things that you need to do to have that work-life balance. And one of those things is to respect your work time as well as your lifetime. And then make sure that you understand the difference between the two. The time that you commit to work, whether you are working for somebody else or whether you're like most of the people on this call, self-employed, you have to make a clear distinction between those two. Because let me tell you what the stress triggers are if you don't. Number one, you end up working long hours or overtime. You end up missing lunches and dinners. You end up having to bring work home. Your work life collides with your home life. Your spouse gets annoyed. The kids get neglected. You get no talk. You get no love. You get no sex. You get bad grades, and the kids hang out with the wrong crowd, and they end up in a gang, and then all hell just breaks loose. All because you didn't respect that work time and that lifetime. So, I hear y'all in the background. Somebody knows what I'm talking about.
Billy said, wow.
So, you know, if you like to talk to your spouse, if you like some love in your house, if you don't want your kids to end up in a gang, listen to what I'm about to say, because here's the remedy. Set those regular work hours as much as possible. Now, again, it may be easier for someone who is working a regular job to do than someone who is self-employed, because it's a whole different ballgame in the self-employment arena. But as much as you can, set those regular hours. If you're working 8:30 to 4:30, 9 to 5, then get out of that job at 9 to 5. Get home and leave the job at the job. If you are self-employed, a good strategy that one of my fellow life coaches talks about in her article, her name is Valerie Burton. Her article is 5 Rules for Successfully Working from Home. She recommends that you keep regular hours at home as well and close up your home office in a visible way so that everybody knows that the work time is over. So if you've got a home office in your house, you come out of that office and you physically close that door. So it's a sign to everybody else in the house that mommy or daddy is done with work for the day and now mommy and daddy's home. If you need to, then you need to set an alarm clock or set some type of chime that reminds you in your home business that the work hours are over and to just shut it down and to come back in to the family. So you also want to be able to set boundaries with your spouse and your kids so that they know that when your work hours are and when your lifetime hours are. And then what you're going to see happen is that your spouse and your kids will then hold you responsible and accountable to the time that you set. So if mommy is saying to the kids, okay, mommy's working between 8:30 and 4:30, you can't interrupt me, go do your homework, go watch SpongeBob, or go do something else until mommy gets done, then, you know, come 4:25, your kids are going to be antsy and scratching at that door saying, all right, mom, you said, so now here we go. And then that becomes an accountability measure for you to live up to the commitments that you said. And by doing that, you're going to reduce some of the stress that comes in the household when you work beyond the time that you say you're going to work. Another remedy to respect the work time and the lifetime is to turn off those work phones, turn off those laptops, turn the pages off, and don't plan any other event outside of the work hours. And again, if possible, you know, put your work, if you work in a regular job, put your work on notice that your weekends are yours, you know, or those days off that you have days off, let them know in advance that you may have some special event planned, because if you don't let them know and they need you, they're going to be more inclined to call you in at the last minute. But if your boss knows that you've got a special event going on and they've been on notice for a couple of weeks, then more than likely they're going to go to their plan B, their plan C. That reduces the stress on you of having to come in, and then that reduces the stress on your job as well, because they know who they can count on and who they can't count on at that specific time. Avoid those work emails. Like I said, turn that laptop off. and now we've got all these smartphones out here. You know, I had a BlackBerry, and I was connected to my job through my email server, and I would come home, and I would still be looking at my work emails. Well, now I got a new phone, and I don't have the capability of putting my job's emails on my new phone, and it's just like a new weight has been lifted off of me because I don't have to see them when I don't see the office. And isn't it funny how back in the day when we left work, things happened, and when we came back the next day, we dealt with them, as opposed to the today, if something happens, it's like instantaneous, and you've got to take care of it because now all of a sudden it's an emergency, where 20 years ago it would have just been something that carried over to the next day. You feel me on that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we got to go back to the basics. You know, we got to go back to the basics. If it wasn't an emergency 10 years ago, it's not an emergency now just because your HTC smartphone told you that it's happening. So let's make sure that we respect the work time and the lifetime. Your family's going to love you for it. Your job's going to love you for it. And then the two are going to understand where your priorities are. And then you'll find it's going to be a lot easier for you to do what you have to do without a stressful situation. So the third thing, and I would probably say next to making time for yourself, it's probably the hardest thing. Prioritize, organizing. It's the one thing that people really hate to do. I see it in my practice all the time. When it comes down to writing the plan on paper and getting it out of your head, it just seems like it's the hardest thing to do. And all of my clients that I coach through that, they seem to just be stressed because they don't feel there's enough time in the day to do everything that needs to be done. So let's talk about the triggers, the stress triggers of not prioritizing and not organizing. One of the things is disorganization, which leads to procrastination, which leads to unrealistic goals, which leads to you not wanting to plan in the first place. And then the other two things that are triggers is what I like to call the whole pie syndrome or the perfectionism syndrome. The whole pie syndrome talks about if I can't do it all at once, then why do it at all? And the perfectionism syndrome talks about, well, if I can't do it perfectly, 100% without flaws, then why even do it? Why even plan it? So those things are those things that lead to stress because you're not organized and because you haven't set priorities. Well, here we go. Here's some remedies to deal with that. And this one goes out to Billy because I know Billy would be giving out some great scriptures if we were here. So I humbly found one that I think would go towards what we're talking about right now. And it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. And he says, but all things should be done decently and in order. That was Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And that talks about being able to prioritize your goals, your objectives, and your task. I've been turned on to this new motivational speaker. He's not new, but he's new to me, by the name of John C. Maxwell. And he wrote a book called Make Today Count. And when he talks about prioritizing, he says that you need to consider three questions to determine whether this is something you should do or something you shouldn't do. The first question he wants us to recognize is what I'm doing a requirement? Is it something that I must do? The second question is, what is the return on the time that I invest in this action? And he recommends that we only invest in high return activities. And then the third question is, what is the reward for what I'm doing? What is the personal satisfaction in what I'm doing? So when you look at your goals, when you look at those objectives, when you look at those things that you're trying to do, you want to make sure that they meet those three questions. And because if they don't meet those three questions, then you may find that you are prioritizing in the wrong manner. And, you know, time is one of the most precious commodities that we have. We only get 24 hours in a day. We only get 186 hours in a week. Do you really want to waste any one of those hours not doing something that is going to be required of you, something that's going to give you a high return, or something that's going to give you a high reward? I don't think so. So you want to prioritize based upon the order of importance to the things that you're trying to accomplish in your life, and that's going to help you reduce your stress. And again, I want you to listen to me. Hear me clearly. Resist the temptation of having the perfect plan. Plans are fluid documents, and they're open to change and modification. I like to think of life as like a ship that sways on the water, and we are the captains of those ships. And our job is to balance that ship and keep it afloat by changing its direction. Sometimes we got to go to the left. Sometimes we got to go to the right. Sometimes we got to go forward. Sometimes we got to go backward as necessary. And that's what the plan is. The plan has to be fluid. It has to be able to adjust and balance to the conditions that come in your life. What happens today is not going to be the same situation tomorrow. So that plan that you made today may not be effective tomorrow. You got to change the plan. But don't feel that if the plan was perfect on Monday and now it's not perfect on Tuesday, that the plan is no good. Remember, there are no perfect plans or perfect situations, but there are the right plans for the right situation. Keep that in mind, and that's going to help you prioritize, and that's going to help you pull away from the stress. And then the last thing under prioritizing is making sure that you make SMART goals. Now, does anyone know what SMART goals are? You know what the acronym for SMART goals means?
Yes.
Okay, come on, Stacey. Raise your hand. What do they mean? Let's see.
Specific.
Uh-huh.
Measurable.
Okay.
Attainable.
All right.
Realistic.
She's cooking with gas. Come on, bring it home.
Is it timely?
Time-oriented. Okay, I got an apple coming through the phone for you. All right. Exactly. SMART goals, they are specific, measurable, attainable or achievable, whichever A word you want to use, realistic, and time-oriented. If the goals that you're creating don't have those five things, those goals are destined to fail, and then your plan is going to fail. So with forever goal, whatever objective and whatever task you're trying to pursue, make sure it passes the SMART test, and then you're going to be able to prioritize correctly using those three questions. Is it something that's required of me? Is it something that's going to give me a good return? And is it something that's going to give me great reward? And then you're going to be able to get organized and have less stress. So
that's so awesome. Coach Terrence is holding us down tonight on talkradio.com. Guys, you know we do this every Monday at 10 p.m. Standard Time. And Coach Terrence is just sharing so much great information with us, SMART goals. I mean, I think that what you just said was there are no perfect plans, and plans are fluid. So I love it. Thank you so much for giving us so much good information. And I just wanted to let everyone who they're listening to, and that's mindshifttalkradio.com. So we're going to go jump right back into this, Terrence. I know you were just talking about SMART goals and getting us on our next step there.
Okay. The fourth thing that I want you to look at as a way to balance your work life and avoid those stress triggers is very simple, but sometimes also hard to do. It's being able to share the load. So let's look at some of the stress triggers when we don't share the load or delegate other tasks to other people. Well, we feel like we're having a DIY syndrome, a do-it-yourself syndrome. Nobody can do it better than me. You'll have that expression of that famous song for the ladies, I'm not your superwoman, but I want to say I'm not your Superman either. You're also you're also going to run into that stress trigger again of perfectionism, just like in the last topic. No one can do it as well as I can, so I'm the one who has to do it. And that's going to lead to burnout. And then that's going to also put you in this situation of the famous Bill Withers song, where you're going to find that because you're always doing the things that no one else can do, people keep giving you those things to do, and all of a sudden they use you and use you and use you till they use you up.
Mm.
So I got some remedies to deal with that too, and they're very simple, very basic. You probably already know them. You can probably say them along with me as I say them. Delegate to others the things you're not good at, or especially the things you hate to do. Now, so the one thing that was delegated in my household was the finances. My wife handles all the finances, because if you put the money in my pocket, the lint will be there and the money will be gone. That's just how it happens. And but she is the one who is disciplined enough. She is the one who makes sure that the bills get paid, that they get paid on time, and that, you know, we can still live in this, what I call, lap of luxury in the city of Chicago. So that is something that we worked out. And conversely, if there's a car issue, then I'm the one who's taking care of the car issues, because she ain't got the patience to deal with any problems that have to do with the car. Dad, something wrong with the car. And there you go. That's my cue to jump in and take care of it. But it works. We share the load and things get done. So I don't have to go behind her and figure out what's going on with the finances or try to balance the checkbook. She doesn't have to wait on me to take care of anything that has to do with the car. So it works. And we're not stressed. There's no, you know, outside of, you know, the recession of 2008 through 2011 that everybody's going through, we're still here and we're not stressed about that. And both of our cars, thank you, Jesus, are still running and paid off. Yes.
Hey. Love it.
It works. It works when you share the load. So not just only in your household, if there are some things that you don't have time to do in your business, there's this wonderful website called Fiverr.com. It's Fiverr.com. And there are people all over the world that are looking to do things for you that you don't have time to do for yourself. And they charge $5 for you to do it. You know, I was just on there tonight, and you can get some business cards done for $5. You can get a website reviewed for $5. There are college students that are willing to take your flyers and pass them out for you for $5. How cool is that? And that gives you time to work on something else in your business that you wouldn't have had time to do, because you may be out there trying to create your own business cards or pass out your own flyers. So outsourcing to family, outsourcing to friends, outsourcing to other businesses that specialize in what you need them to do takes that stress off of you. And again, John Maxwell says he uses this in his business all the time. He says, if someone can do something 80% of the way I would, then I'm going to delegate it to them, and then I'm going to motivate them to do it even better. And what he's found in his research in doing this over and over again is that the people that he delegates those things to end up doing it better than he would have did it himself. So he's got the added bonus of not having to do it and having a better quality than if he had to do it himself. So definitely share the load, delegate those things that you don't either have the time to do, or that you're not good at doing, or that you hate to do, and you're going to take that stress off of you. And then finally, the last way that you can effectively balance your work life with your home life and reduce those stress triggers is just learning how to say no.
Mm.
Very, very simple. Very simple. But let's talk about the stress triggers that come along with not saying no when you should be saying no. You end up with this false sense of obligation to the person, place, or thing that you haven't said no to. you end up being a people pleaser at your own expense. You end up having a loss of time, and you end up having a loss of self. Now, I don't know about you, but those four things are very important to me. The famous poet Carl Sandburg said that time is the most valuable coin in your life, but be careful that you don't let other people spend it for you. And, you know, I hate it when other people spend my money. You know, I hate it when I have to give it away. And time, to me, is just as precious as that dollar bill or that coin. And the reason I say that is because, again, 24 hours in a day, 186 hours in a week, you don't get those back. As much as we see it on the TV shows and people go back and forth, back in time, back to the future, that ain't real life. Once this show is over, thank God for the archive, but you can't come back and listen to this show live. You can't come back and have the experience of the unstoppable coach live and in person, of the great Dr. Io, of the great Medina Nance, of the great Stacey Emery. You can't get that same vibe off of the archive as you did by investing the time right now. So be aware of how you use your time and hold it dear to you. So what are the remedies? Just learn how to say no respectfully. When you quit doing the things out of a sense of obligation, you open up your room for more things to come into your life, more activities that are meaningful to you, not things that are obligated by somebody else. Learning how to say no will also get people to respect you and respect your boundaries, more importantly. They'll know that you are firm and steadfast in what it is that you're trying to do, and that this is my work time, and this is my family time, or this is my me time, and you can't interfere with that. You know, they will understand that they're, what they need from you has a certain place and time in your life. And it's not as important as what's in your life itself. You know, I like to say that your lack of planning does not become my emergency. And people really have to understand that. I have things that I have planned to do for me and for my family, and I plan that with a purpose. And I'm not going to stop, in most cases, what I'm doing because you lack or you failed to plan something that was going on in your life. We all have to treat our time as valuable. Saying no. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, no, I'm just sitting here like, mm-hmm.
So
you're sharing so much. I'm just like, wow. But go ahead.
Yeah. And my last point on that is that saying no to things and people help you to keep your integrity and the balance in your life because you're focused on your goals and your agenda instead of someone else's. So, again, just to wrap up, the five things that you need to do to avoid the stress and to have better work balance in your life is to make time for yourself, respect your work time versus your lifetime, prioritize and organize, share the load, and learn to say no. And I'm about to drop the mic, and I'm up out of here.
Coach T in the place to be. I'm telling you,
right.
You shared so much. I was sitting here like, yep, yep. That's all I'm saying is like, yep. And I'm looking at all the steps that you shared. And then the last one, I mean, I thought I had a favorite before, but then you got to number five, talking about learning to say no. And I know for many people, you would say, you know, that's easier said than done. I know even for me, some people feel like I have I don't know. Some people think I'm somewhat assertive and aggressive at times, or I don't know where they get that from. But I also had an issue with saying no, and still sometimes I have an issue with that. And even Chris, you know, Chris Gloss coaches me on it about, you know, being able to set those boundaries and so forth. And that's why it's great to have mentors and people in your life that can hold you accountable, that can say, hey, you know, here's a red flag, here's that stress trigger coming along. You know, they can catch you in their tracks. And also for those of you that are listening to the show, you know, you may be thinking, well, you know, it's not so easy for me to do that. But again, you know, we talk about having accountability partners and people that are there to support you, and you even have that even with this show. You know, you have this show here. You have people that you can connect with. As we said, you know, you can reach out to us online at facebook.com/MindShiftTalkRadio, and you can befriend us. You can become friends with the coach, Terrence Lefferidge. So you can have, you know, the certified life coach as your friend on Facebook. You can be friends with the Natural Zen Diva, Dr. Ayo Kedar. You can be friends with Medina Nance. You can be my friend, even if you may not want to be my friend. I don't know, but you can be friends with Stacey Emery. But, you know, I'm saying we're here. You can start to connect with people that can remind you of these habits, remind you of these steps, that can keep you grounded, and that can you know, basically nurture you along the way. And when we're talking about saying no, what stood out to me, Terrence, was, I know for me personally, looking at myself, the times when I really had an issue saying no was because there was this lack of confidence in myself. And I encourage those of you that are listening that are having trouble or having a challenge in this area to look at yourself. Maybe there's this lack of confidence. There may be this insecurity that's driving you to feel like you have to please all the time, you know, making you feel like you can't say no to someone. Sometimes it's emotional, sometimes it's mental, whatever it may be. But really look at yourself and determine what it is that makes you afraid to say no. You'll look at some people that can be very brash. When they come at you, when they don't really know you, but then you're like, okay, how are they so rough with me? And then they get around a person that really abuses them, and they don't say no to them. You guys ever ran into that? Like, you know, why are you so mean to me? But you're nice to the person that's right. And that's why I say sometimes people will play on your insecurities. They'll play on those issues to really control you. So we have to really be careful of that and be mindful of that. But I agree, you know, it's important to learn to say no and when to say no and how to say no. Of course, we don't have to be mean about it. We don't have to be rough. But we need to make sure that we're clear with our no's, that people understand our no's. Not that we owe explanations to everyone, but they just need to understand where we're coming from with our no's. And another part that you talked about, I know you're talking about the whole piece syndrome or the whole pie. The whole piece. You're talking about the whole piece of the pie. And it goes, the whole pie, okay. Right. And I can't even read my own handwriting. That's a shame. That's step number 6, work on your handwriting. But anyway, you know, it goes back to a control issue, wanting to be in control of everything. And I like the fact that you talked about delegating responsibility. Again, for me, I just kept nodding because I'm like, yep, that's me. And it's great when you're able to look and you can tell that you've grown when you can see yourself in all these steps and say, wow, I don't believe I was like that at one point. I was like that too. But for me, I was that control person. And if you're having an issue in that area, you know, find encouragement in other areas, whether it's in motivational books, whether it's listening to shows like this. Maybe you'll find that in friends and peers or whatever. For me personally, I find the strength to be able to delegate and to be able to say no and to be able to balance things out by looking at the Proverbs 31 woman. For me, you know, you look at that scripture, and it talks about all the work that she does. You know, she's always at work, and she's able to balance everything in business, taking care of her family. She has the best of the best. I mean, clearly this woman is not a lazy woman at all, right? You know, she takes care of her money. She's taking care of everything that's going on. She's still helping the needy. She's taking care of her maidservant. She's taking care of everyone. She's holding it down. And that's who I aspire to be, that Proverbs 31 woman. But also you look at all the things that she does. What's up?
I don't want to. I mean to cut you off, and I think you just pulled out a topic for a whole nother show. That scripture, depending on how you look at it, can be a blessing and a curse. And indulge me a second. It's a blessing because that is the woman. That is the caricature. That is the role model that a lot of people do aspire to be. But here's the curse part. Once they become that person, then that's when you hear the statements of, you know, I can do this all by myself. And then the very next statement that comes after it, I don't need no man. because
oh,
I can do it all by myself. I got this worked out. I don't need nobody. And then the impression becomes, then the men have that impression, or they may see that you're this phenomenal woman, but they don't look at you just as a phenomenal woman to be that they want to be around. They become intimidated in their own self-esteem because you are all that. And a brother has to really step to you to be all that, so they think. So, you know, what I'm coming back to is basically what I said. The most important thing is to take that time for your self inventory. Yes, you can be that phenomenal woman, but yes, part of being a phenomenal woman is learning to have the choice and be strong in that choice. Say, okay, this thing I got myself, or this thing I need some help with, or this thing I need someone to share the load with me. That doesn't change you from being phenomenal. You're phenomenal because you have that awareness, not because you did everything, not because you did all the laundry and you changed the oil and you changed the tire and you put the kids to bed and you did all the grocery shopping and you brought home the bacon and you fried it up the pan and you never let them forget that you are a woman.
Coach T, let me tell you, you got me fired up right now because I had to stand up out my chair. I can't even sit down right now because we are so, I'm telling you, Ayo, we're doing another show. It's going to be straight about this chick, about the Proverbs 31 woman. I'm telling you, you got me fired up right now. We're going to have a discussion, a round table.
I'm telling you.
All that. But listen, you know what? I hear what you're saying. Okay, and see, oh gosh, we're running out of time. But let me just say this. I see what you're saying about the blessing and how it can be a curse. But let me tell you this. If anyone is seeing it that way and thinking, oh, I'm that chick and I don't need him, then she's not reading it correctly. She's not interpreting it correctly, and she needs to pray for revelation of that scripture. Because it also talks about her husband being respected at the gate. Okay, he's the man as well. I don't think that she can be the woman without the man that's there as well. So it's a whole balance. We're talking about work-family balance. We're talking about work-life balance. And there's a balance between that brother and that sister as well in that scripture. So it's not to say that she's all that and he's not. They're both all that. Their children are all that. Their maidservants are all that. Everyone is all that. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's a whole package. But we're going to have another show, Proverbs 31, on Mindshift Talk Radio. I'm telling you, y'all be here. I don't know when, but be here.
But let me connect the dot back to that other one about learning to say no. You are a phenomenal woman. You already established that. So why would a phenomenal woman be afraid to tell somebody else no? And in actuality, by not telling that other person no, the phenomenal woman is saying no to herself, no to her time. No to what she could be doing instead of, no to what is important to her, all because she couldn't say no to that other person. You feel what I'm saying? If you are phenomenal, if you are phenomenal in all these other areas, then assert that and be proud of that and be authentic. You know, the one thing that I really work with my clients on is having integrity and being authentic in whatever it is. If you don't want to do it, be authentic. I can respect you. Tell me the truth. Don't lie to me.
Keep it real.
Keep it real, you know. And if I don't agree with it, well, then that's my issue. That's not your issue. If there is something that is more important for you to do, if there's a place that's more important for you to be than to people please somebody else for their benefit, and it, again, look at the three questions. Is it a must? Is it required of you? Is there some reward to you? Is there a high return? If those things that they're asking you to do don't answer those three questions, then why is it a priority to you? And then you be phenomenal enough to express that. Terrence, you know, you could say to me, okay, what you want me to do is not a priority in my life. Catch me at the next time. And I'm going to say, all right, Stacey Pace.
Well, see, Coach, that's what it's all about. That's why we have the show. That's why it's Mind Shift Talk Radio. You see? That's why we have the show. Because we have these phenomenal women that are out there, and men, phenomenal men and women that are listening to this show that may just have a couple of areas that need to be tweaked. We all need some pruning sometimes, and that's why we listen to the show. That's why we come here every week, and that's why we have awesome speakers like you joining us. And I can't stress it enough. I thank you so much for being here with us. Like I said, we're always excited to have you here. And you really, as always, dropped some nuggets tonight. If you could please tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and get more information from you.
Well, the ways of getting in contact with me are growing by leaps and bounds. You can reach me on my coaching website at www.unstoppablecoaching.com. You can also catch me at my new website where I have more videos and more unstoppable thoughts of the day, and that's 24/7 Next Level Living Show. That's one word, www.nextlevellivingshow.com. And I've also got a thought for the day on there talking about stress today, getting prepared for this show. And then you can also always find me on Facebook at facebook.com/unstoppablecoaching.
Mr. Unstoppable, well, thank you for joining us tonight on Mindshift Talk Radio. We are always, always honored to have you here. And you are invited back for the Proverbs 31 conversation as well.
All right, I'm going to read up on it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to MindShiftTalkRadio.com. We are coming up at the end of this hour. The show has just been fire for us. We had to extend it, so congratulations to you. You got a bonus 30 minutes. But Dr. I, I'm going to pass it over to you so you can tell our listeners what to expect next week.
All right. Thanks, Stacey. Thank you so much, Coach Terrence Luckridge and Medina Nance, for joining us tonight. Next week, we're going to be having a super phenomenal guest speaker on. Excuse me there, guys. What we'll be talking about is her guest name is Charlotte Hunt. She's an awesome speaker. She's a radio personality. And she's going to be how to dream madly, pursue wildly, and trust me. So, guys, she's going to be sharing about from her upcoming book, Dream Madly, Pursue Wildly, and Trust Completely, what you wanted to be when you, which explores three principles that I just dream madly, pursue wildly, and trust completely, and the way you can bring those dreams and potential into fruition. So, guys, you're not going to want to miss this show because this stuff, if you have kids, you need to hear it. If you want more in your life, you need to hear it. You know, any mind shifter, I promise you, Mind Shift Talk Radio next week, 10 p.m., same time, same place, it's going to be fire. So I want to make sure you guys tune in. It's going to be, I know it's going to be a hot one.
I know it is. I know it is. I saw her video, and I saw some of her work, and I was just like, wow, I'm so excited about her as well. I mean, her story. And it, you know what? It reminds me a lot of last week when we were speaking with Tawana Williams and just hearing about their background and some of the things they've had to overcome. So I definitely encourage all of the listeners to make sure that you're here next week and make sure that you share the show information with your friends and family. Again, you can always listen to the replays online at MindShiftTalkRadio.com. Again, I can't stress this enough. If you are not following the show or if you are not a fan yet, you're missing information. So make sure that you find us on Facebook, Facebook.com/MindShiftTalkRadio. And make sure that you're connecting with us and getting any updates and so forth like that. But that is it, ladies and gentlemen. Again, we were excited to have you here tonight. I'm excited about our speakers. Thank you again to Medina Nance, certified herbalist, as well as a certified life coach, Mr. Unstoppable himself. Terrence Leffridge joined us as well. So that is it for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. You guys have an awesome, amazing, productive, and blessed week. And we will speak to you guys next week, same time, same place, here for Mindshift Talk Radio. Be blessed. Bye-bye.
Mind Shift Radio.